Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Rascuache. To some, it's an insult that implies poverty or a lower class aesthetic. Others say rascuachismo is defined by a unique Chicano resourcefulness and ingenuity. San Antonio Chicano scholar Tomás Ibarra Frausto championed rascuachismo in the 1989 essay Rascuachismo, a Chicano Sensibility. Examples of rascuachismo include repurposing an old tire as a flowerbed or a bathtub as an altar for the Virgen de Guadalupe. Rascuachismo has also made its way into fashion. Augusto Cuellar is a sustainable award-winning designer based in San Antonio. He's recently launched the House of Augustine and has created a style of fashion he calls rascuachic. Cuellar's partner in this endeavor is his creative director, Dr. Puente para la Gente, who you'll hear Cuellar refer to occasionally as Christelle. Cuellar says he has always been attracted to the rascuache aesthetic.
Because it incorporated so many things that I was doing, art, fashion, and community. And so I felt that it could be part of a bigger basis for people to feel comfortable in. Rascuache means being able to do something and create something out of what is discarded, what is left behind, bits and pieces. I'm almost like an alchemist. What I do is I find different pieces from either textiles to fabric to things that are not meant to be fashion. Wall hanging sometimes creep into my work. I do a lot of things that make me smile and laugh and happy because there's so much stuff going on that is not that I feel like I need to create something that makes me able to share it and get a laugh out of it. So rascuachic being such a Tejano, San Antonio kind of Mexicano cultura, that it just made sense that it would speak to a client and an audience that I'm reaching out to, because I think my work is based in some type of resistance, being able to create something that anybody can do. It's a gift, but you're able to do something out of nothing if you present it in a way where you're taking bits and pieces of things that exist already but are going to the landfill. And now that I work for a nonprofit, and it's one of the major nonprofits that does collecting and donating, it's Goodwill Industries, I'm able to see what goes into the landfill. And it breaks my heart because there's so much of that that can be turned into fashion, but also art, also installation, sets for movies. There's so much of it. So I feel like me being in that aspect inside of that organization, I'm allowed to see and maybe make some changes in how we then get rid of our waste at a place that has a lot of waste. We get so much donations. If I can make something out of nothing using things that we're going to go into the landfill and present them on the runway as couture, as creative energy, as something that is tangible but yet is real, and it's based in the cultura of being Mexicano, Chicano, Chicanx.
I know. I think everybody who is Latino and has those roots, you recall somebody who says, "Don't throw that out. Going to save that." And so you've got this, you know, collection of items, you know, a little screw that you find on the ground or a piece of rope. And there are some who may just stash those away because I might use it later. Yeah. And then there's others who, again, will repurpose them into art, like you just said. I'm wondering if you came from that kind of a background.
Yes, I did. My grandmother, Lucia, was a seamstress. So at about age 5, she had me cutting up fabric and showed me things that were non-traditional. And so my mom was also a seamstress. She sewed all her clothes at a young age. As a young kid, I remember being taken to all the segundas, the flea markets, the secondhand stores. And that was my perception of what the world was when I was a kid, because we grew up in the projects. And so there was always that excitement of going to a thrift store and finding who knows what, because you never knew what you could come across. And so I think that that was instilled in me at a very young age. And so I would hoard stuff and I would keep stuff because I knew that in the future I could use it for something. It wasn't just to save it. It was to actually use it. And so Christelle can attest to how I work is I got to have everything around me so that I can pull. And then the things just kind of come together. They just kind of attract each other like they're meant to be. And I'm just kind of the alchemist bringing that those two pieces to connect. And when they connect, we're just like, what happened? Like, that's it. And so I think that that's part of our collaborative nature, that we're able to inspire and almost like work off each other like a wall where I can show her and she'll be like, it's just it's part of the mechanism that drives what comes out of the creative energy that we produce.
Well, Dr. Puente, how did you get drawn into this laboratory of this alchemist, Augusto Cuellar?
Well, first of all, I'm honored that he lets me be in that laboratory because I didn't start out ever wanting to necessarily be any kind of designer. I don't consider myself a designer like at all. I think Augusto and I connect where he's talking about like seeing those pieces, because sometimes when we're working together, he pulls something and I have just pulled something else and it was the exact same thing that like he was going to get. And then we're like, oh, were you going to? Oh, my God. We also have similar stories in how we grew up. I, of course, was one of those kids that got taken to the thrift store all the time. And I had secondhand clothes for the most part and things from the thrift store. And when I was growing up, that was something you didn't necessarily tell people when you were growing up, right? That, oh, I got this at the thrift store, or oh, this is my cousin's hand-me-down. But there was a way in which we would make it kind of mine, like once we got it. And then my other, I guess, continued issue is that I love nice things, but I don't have nice things money. So sometimes you can go to the thrift store and you can find those things that somebody's throwing away, you know, some designer piece that's missing a sleeve or doesn't have the buttons, and you can rework it. So I think like that sensibility for me was always kind of there. And I was very influenced by old movies growing up. So I would see these wonderful dresses like on Ginger Rogers or Audrey Hepburn. I'm wearing these amazing things. And I was obsessed when I was growing up too with men's suits. I wanted a tuxedo. Like, again, like our parents kind of be like, what's up with this weird kid? You know, I was always kind of doing something odd. And it's now kind of, I would say, in the last maybe 10 years that we've known each other and done things together, like that odd part fits. This is where it fits. It fits in art. Like, it didn't fit anywhere else. Like, this is where it was always kind of meant to be. And he gave me the space to do that, because when I started working with him, I was a photographer doing mostly just photography. And then I had an idea one day and I was like, hey, do you want to do this photo shoot? And he was like, yeah, sure. And he trusted me. And that day was like, that was like a magical day. And I think ever since like that point, it was like we understood each other. Like, we got each other in ways that other people didn't understand us. Like, I think where other people would say, like, that's weird. Mm. Why would you do that? It's like him and I are like, let's make it weirder. Like, let's make it more weird. And it was to my grandma as well, was a big influence on me. She crocheted. She also sewed. And my grandma was one of those people that would make literally something from nothing. So she was the abuela that had, you know, the butter container and it had beans in it. But my grandma would also take things like toilet paper rolls and make little flowers and vases and out of things that other people think is crazy. Like, why are you doing that? So as time has gone on, I think we've tried to honor a lot of those things in our past, in the work that we do. Like, how can I bring a toilet paper roll into a collection? Like, how can we do that? And it's really neat working with somebody who's not like, that's weird.
And that's the thing, is I don't think it's weird. I just think we're thinking on another level of what the future is, because we're creating stuff for the future. This is about showing people how,
yeah,
and where. San Antonio is a resource of many things. You don't have to go far to find something to work with. And it's just a matter of being resourceful, creative, and and take chances. And be, but when we talk about it, sometimes it's hard to kind of verbalize what it is that we do. We just show it. And then people are like, ow,
like,
now we
that?
Get it. It's upside down, or yeah, you turned it sideways, or mm-hmm, or what? It's inside out? Oh, mm-hmm, it doesn't always work. But majority of the time, we come up with some stuff that's like, that works.
And then I think
you got to throw stuff against the wall.
Yeah,
yeah, and see what sticks and what happens. Yeah. And so we do that a lot.
We're not scared. And I think the idea, too, of what we do, where that leads back into rascuachismo and into being rascuacha, is it is taking stuff that other people thought was trash or wasn't cool anymore and figuring out how to rework that, but taking that to another level, I like making it beautiful. Yeah. And I think at first, I had an idea of fashion before I got into working with him, that fashion had to last for a long time. Like, it had to be something like you would get this expensive Chanel jacket, or you would get this Couture Dior piece, and that it was an investment. It was going to last you a lifetime. And the beauty about making things the way we do is not meant to. Like, it was already something that was going to end up in the trash. So if it breaks, when you're walking down the runway, just go with it. Love it. It's part of it. It's part of it. It's not meant to last forever. It's meant to be in this beautiful little moment and have like this ephemeral quality, something that brings you joy, like right in that moment. And then maybe it's gone. And that's okay. And maybe we take it apart and we do something else.
That's a part of creating too.
Yeah. All of those things are okay. Things don't have to be like so rigid and stiff all the time. That's the beauty of art. Like, you can manipulate it and change it, and it has a fluidity to it.
Augusto Cuellar is a sustainable designer based in San Antonio. He and his creative partner, Dr. Puente para la Gente, have launched the House of Augustine. They're talking about their brand of fashion, Rascua Chic. When we come back, Rascua Chic is a reflection of and a love letter to San Antonio.
And even the name Rascua Chic, it has San Antonio origins, just like rascuachismo has San Antonio origins.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Do you have a real estate asset that's not being utilized? Consider donating it to TPR. It's easy, free, and you could claim a significant tax deduction. Visit tpr.careasy.org/real-estate-donation.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. San Antonio hosted the state's official fashion event, Texas Fashion Week, last April. Emerging and established designers, models, and other creatives gathered to connect and recognize their talents in formal scenic settings. The event that closed Fashion Week was one that takes high fashion to the streets of San Antonio's historically Latino West Side. Runway Rascua Chic was hosted by the nonprofit Esperanza Peace and Justice Center and presented by the House of Augustine. The San Antonio-based fashion house is led by sustainable designer Augusto Cuellar and his creative director, Dr. Puente para la Gente. Cuellar talks about how Runway Rascua Chic got off the ground and into the streets.
Runway Rascua Chic is actually a branch off of another event that I did for 10 years that was part of an event called Una Noche en la Gloria, which was a spinoff of Luminaria. So it has history. And the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center has graciously taken on the role of our major supporter. They are the ones that actually are making it all happen with their grant funding and their know-how and the ability to do it, because they've done stuff on the street before. They're about community. They're about, you know, inviting everyone and not being exclusive, but being inclusive. And so I think that we're in a good place. There could be a 9-year-old little girl there in the community seeing this and going, what? In my neighborhood, in the Alasan Projects at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, in 10 years, who knows? That young girl could be a designer. She could be inspired by just one thing that sparked her vision. And we're there, mija, you can do it. Mijo, you can do it. You just need to have community support and have the patience and have the passion. I mean, that's important, because I've been in this business for 30 years and I'm now seeing the fruits of my labor. It's been a long road, but I don't give up, because I get to work with amazing people. I get to see amazing things and experience new visions. So I think that it's all part of the plan that we move forward and hopefully encourage other people to to be part of our dream.
And Dr. Puente, you've been involved also with the Esperanza in the past. So how is this all coming nicely full circle for you, this experience with Runway Rascua Chic and all the other things that you've done in the community?
Yeah, I'll be eternally grateful to the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center for their support of all of the work that I've been doing as a community historian and a scholar. Like, I don't think anybody at the Esperanza ever thought they would be sponsoring a fashion show in the middle of the street. Yeah, here we are.
Why not?
And yeah, and they're sponsored. You know, we also have the support of Texas Fashion Week as well. So when you think about that, that is really, really spectacular that we have Texas Fashion Week bringing their people to the West Side, to the street, to the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, to their West Side location. And all of that happening right now, I mean, those are the ancestors at work. You know, those are the people that have made all of these things, put all of these steps in place that I didn't know when I started working with the Esperanza about 10 years ago. Started doing volunteer work with them and then started working with them, that here we would be today. So like that, all of those things are really beautiful, and they've really trusted, I guess, my vision and now Augusto's vision with Runway Rascua Chic. You have to say it, Rascua Chic.
You have to roll the R's. Rascua Chic.
Yeah. Or you say it like real fancy, like Rascua Chic.
Rascua Chic. With a soft whisper.
Yes.
It is a tongue twister, but we're definitely going to get everyone to say it.
It is. Yeah, we can talk a little bit about the show, about your collection.
Okay.
So the collection is called Love Parade. And in these times of darkness, let's just say, these very dark, dark times, it becomes something that is like a radical act to talk about love and to experience joy. Like even experiencing joy becomes a form of resistance. So the show is called Love Parade because we are all aching for a little bit of love and a little bit of joy and happiness. Like we all really need that right now. And then when you think about that too, bringing it to the streets, like literally to the streets, it's just a really beautiful metaphor. And the clothes make us happy, mm-hmm. right? They're an expression of love, mm-hmm. like for our community. It really are. I think everything we do is because we love San Antonio very much. And even the name Rascua Chic, it has San Antonio origins, just like Rascua Chismo has San Antonio origins. Dr. Tomasi Badafrasto writing that paper in 89. And then if you want to tell the little story about Rascua Chic, the name itself.
Okay, so Rascua Chic came from one of my mentors that I actually had worked with for several years. I also have a vintage store. So I collect stuff and repurpose. And that's kind of how I got into my fashion when I started my first store in 1990. But through the process, I got to meet some incredible wholesalers, investors, people that had other shops that ran similar stuff to what I did. And in the process, I met a wonderful woman by the name of Pilar Correa. She has passed, but she allowed me to come into her store. And it was almost like 4 years of college. I learned from her how the business ran, how you reacted with people, what they were looking for. It really was a place of joy for me. It didn't last very long, but 4 years. And in the process, I'd come in dressed up and she'd be like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I'm here to work. You're not working here. You just bring yourself. I work here. Because it was a small space. So she didn't really want all that energy because she was about treating the customers well when they came in. And I would come in dressed up and she's like, oh. I said, Rascuache. She goes, that's not Rascuache. She goes, you're Rascua Chic. And there it went. She coined it. And I was like, what did you say? Who? Rascua what? She goes, Rascua Chic, silly. And I'm all. Mm-hmm. And that word just kept swirling in my mind for years.
And then like when you said it to me.
I said it to Christelle.
Like when, because we would laugh about our stuff being Rascuache. Like we really would. That first shoot we did, we were literally taking like trash from the corner and like putting it together, figuring out the shoot like and what we were wearing because right. We did it together. Like we were in it, just laughing like the whole time. Like so we're squatching. Like we were just being silly, right? And then I think just from there we just kept saying it. And then at a certain point, he would start to tell me stories and me being somebody who's a historian, I would always ask him like a million questions. And so he started talking about Rasqua Sheikh and about Bilad. And I was like, what? What? It was like my head exploded or something. I was like, oh, my God.
No, I did.
It really was. And honestly, back to the Esperanza and Rascuachismo, when I started working there, I remember Graciela would take me to some of the meetings. And she took me to a West Side Historic Preservation meeting. And I go in there, and here comes Dr. Frausto. And I had just started reading about Rascuachismo. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I turned around to him, and I was like, I just read your paper. I literally just read your paper maybe the week before that. And none of this, again, they said, was planned. But again, it was the ancestors putting things like in place for you. Like, here it is. Here's what you're supposed to be doing. Here's your gift. Here's Tomasi Barafraso. And so then he invited me to go to his house to go talk to him and sit down and talk about what I was doing. And then from there, he's also become one of my mentors. And when he said Rasqua Sheikh, all of these things kind of started to progress. And then the second collection that we worked on together was called Rascuachismo. And it had Tomas's face. I had gone to take photos of him, and I turned him into graphic images, and we had them on the clothes. We had quotes from his paper on some of the clothes, like Yo Tengo Movidas. And I think something that we kind of keep coming back to is Tomas says something in the paper about Rascuachismo is like making a silk purse from a sow's ear. Again, like the alchemy with that, like keeps coming back. Like in this show, we have a little mascot, and his name is Pepe, and he's a little plastic pig. He's adorable. Oh, and he's got a heart on the side. Like, I just fell in love with Pepe. And then one day we started making up stories about Pepe's life. He's a treasure. He's a little treasure. And like, for me, it incorporates kind of like these little threads, right, of the making a silk purse from a sow's ear, and then the love part and finding something that somebody was going to throw away. Why wouldn't anybody want that plastic pig? It's adorable.
Well, my wholesaler brought it to me, and she found it in a garage sale, she said, and she said, you can have it and collect it to your other pigs that you have already. But talk about what Tomasi Barafrausto called my collection.
Barrio Baroque Folk.
He named my collection. And from someone that coined Rascuachismo.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that he coined that. Amazing. And so I use it.
Yeah, I mean, we use it all the time. Like, we use that. We use, obviously, Rasqua Sheikh, Rascuacha, Rascuache. Like, we use them all. Like, we welcome all forms.
Dr. Puente, Para la Gente, and Augusto Cuellar, a Gracias. Pleasure to speak with the both of you. Thank you. Pleasure.
Same here. Thank you so much, Omar.
Thank you.
Dr. Puente Para la Gente is a community activist, a photographer, and the creative director of the House of Augustine, a creative collective founded by our other guest today, Augusto Cuellar. Cuellar is a San Antonio-based designer who grounds his work in sustainable, repurposed fashion he brands Rasqua Sheikh. Cuellar is a past recipient of the Cultural Pioneer Award from the Texas Fashion Industry Initiative and TFII's Women's Wear Designer of the Year. Cuellar and Dr. Puente are preparing a Rasqua Sheikh collection for Paris Fashion Week in October. A link to their GoFundMe is at tpr.org. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. The program is produced by Marianne Navarro and Norma Martinez. Chiranka Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.